All right, good afternoon. I know everybody, which is great. So, hello. And it is, let me just say, appreciate Giselle very much. How do you appreciate our HR? We have the best HR. I'm serious. We do. We have an HR that is for us. And normally, HR lives the tension of being for the organization or for the individual. And I love the fact that our HR prioritizes the individual, because that's the way the organization set it up. And the reason we're all doing what we do together is because we all love to serve God. It is a big privilege for me to be here today. I am proud to be, though I am a pastor, I am proud to be considered among your ranks. Okay, the Bible says the greatest in the kingdom are the servants of all. And many times in the church context, that means the administrator is the servant of all. Okay, so I just want you to know that you guys are in the minds of and eyes of God considered great. And they say I have a strategic theme kasi in StrengthsFinder. So I position myself towards administration because I want a little bit of greatness kahit paano. Okay? Kasi sabi nila, when you are in the front, you have received your reward in full. But those who do not receive the rewards here on earth will have much treasure in heaven. So ayoko lahat sa inyo mapunta. So kahit paano, I want a little bit of that. So no, but seriously, what you do is so noteworthy. I take time and I brag about what you do whenever I have the chance to speak with other pastors and leaders. They talk about how we're able to do what we're doing. And many times here, they look at Victory and go, what is it? What is this process? What is the system? And many times, what they do not see are all of you and what you do behind the scenes. Whether it's the faithfulness to follow up on your pastor for a lost receipt because, you know, you have to make sure the books balance properly, ensure that our audits are correct and accurate so that the organization retains its financial integrity and we retain our desire to hold ourselves to the higher standard of financial integrity, or, you know, the way you as supervisors facilitate many times what seems like counseling in your office, okay? You know, because most organizations, it's just a boss relationship that you would have. You know, just get the work done. I don't care about your personal life. But in this organization, that's not the case. And we do value the whole individual, and that we believe. I was having a conversation with Karen before she left, and I was saying, you know, interestingly enough, we as a church organization have to capitalize on something that we have that the average corporate organization doesn't. The corporate organization does not know how to handle hearts. So what they have are job descriptions and performance. And what they have is, you need to perform. I don't care what the situation is, you need to perform. But the biggest challenge they have is how to mold hearts. Because many times if a person's heart isn't where they need to be, guess what? Their performance will not be there as well. We all know that. We, on the other hand, specialize on the heart as a church organization. So we understand discipleship. We understand how the heart works. We understand at the end of the day, we all need the gospel. We all need the transforming power of God. We all understand that. And so we were talking about how, I was saying HR, I was talking to Karen about that insight, and we were saying we need to capitalize on, we shouldn't get more corporate, it's the other way around. The more professional we become, the more in scripture, the more spiritual we need to retain. Because the world is bankrupt. The greatest multinational organizations in the world, as big as their budgets are and as profound the brand names you can have, that's bankrupt. They need a savior. We have the greatest message. We get to work for something that when we all pass from this earth, we go on to eternity. What we invest in, it's not these buildings, though some of you will work to build buildings. What we end up doing, we will see in the next life. Can you imagine that? You know, the iWatch is coming out and all this hula-baloo about the watch, right? That won't cross over to the next life. Imagine people slaving to not be able, not sleep, hours to make sure that first watch delivers and it's correct and it's right. But after that, what? You guys are slaving, no sleep also, so make sure that the kids' camp does well. But you know what? When we pass to the next life, that kid will be there with you. That's a big difference. I just want you all to see, realize what you do is kingdom work. Okay? One of the biggest lies the enemy will tell you is you are not doing ministry. You are doing ministry. In fact, when the church grew so big in Acts chapter 6, it grew so big, the pastors realized they were not good at administration. It was one of the most painful realizations they had. We can't even feed people properly, something as basic as food. Most of you can close your eyes and feed 100 people. Ganto lang yan. Right? What did they do? Acts 6, you can look at it. The Bible says, they prayed and said, set apart for us men full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, who will be able to wait on tables. What was the qualification? It was still kingdom-mindedness. It was still a heart ready to serve. Our functions will be different. Not all of us will be hands. Not all of us will be mouths. Not all of us will be eyes. It'd be fun to be a prophet. You know, some of you like Jojo Henson's job. You know, go in, prophesy, go out. Parang sarap, di ba? Parang ganun. After days, I have theme envy and gift envy. I'm like, I want to do that. Okay, but the truth is, I'm not wired that way. You know what I love to do? I love to sit down and fix things. I love to fix systems. I love to work in groups. I love to see groups. I love gathering groups together to achieve what seemingly was impossible. And you know, months later, the conference ends, it was possible. Months later, a project ends, oh, it was doable. I love doing that. That's what I love to do. I love the fact that we live in an organization that allows us to do that. When I first signed up here, there were only two positions, pastor and admin. What was the job description of admin? Everything the pastor couldn't do. That was it. There were only two job descriptions. Okay? That's why when Pastor Paolo established whatever it takes as the theme for kids ministry, it was because the moment you become anything in kids church, you did everything for kids church. And now we actually have job descriptions. We have org structures. And this is fantastic. But let's never lose why. That's why, even though I'm a pastor now, they were saying, this is my role now, this is my function now, I'll be the first person to come up and fix chairs, fix tables. Because at the end of the day, the heart has always been, and should always be, may we never forget, the grace to serve. And really, what you do, you are constantly in a position for greatness. I need you to never forget that. You have the opportunity. We have the challenge of dealing with the lights and the stage, because we speak in front. James, when you lead worship, that tendency is always there, right? When you're on stage, the fight to remember that God is more important is always there. But when you're in the backstage, the fight is to remember that God sees me. And the truth is, Scripture upholds you higher than those of us in front. The world upholds us higher. But God doesn't. God doesn't. So I want you to know, and I say, it is a privilege for me to be here, and I have such a joy to be able to serve with you. What I mean is that I get to work with people like you, okay, who have way bigger treasures and warehouses full of God's blessing than I can ever compare with. Okay? So, what I'm talking about today is a continuation of form. Tawa kami ng tawa ni Giselle because I told her the title of my topic is Creating Culture. Then, after a while, she sends back, title ni Pastor Joey, Creating Culture din. Sabi ko, naku, alam ko yung topic na yan. values yan, values. So, sabi ko, mine is not that, but kinda like that. Okay? So, it's the same idea. Okay? Let me explain to you why I'm saying creating culture. At the end of the day, culture is what? Culture is the thing, it's that unspoken, unwritten thing that everybody just knows is the way things work. Culture is what we do just because. You grew up that way, you just know, you just assume. Okay? Having to go to the United States back and forth recently, I've had to become keenly aware of our natural instincts as Filipino. That's not the way other cultures do things. And obviously, you know, everything we all know about the pointing with your lips to, those are the obvious ones. But there are a lot of other things na are not as obvious. One American pastor came to me after one meeting, and he shook my hand, and he said, Carlos, we are so looking forward to having you. You need to grow a second skin, okay? Okay? Oh, my first time to talk to this guy, okay? My first meeting. You need to grow a second skin, okay? Okay. Di ba para sa akin, lakas ng dating, ah. Hindi kita kilala. You know, but what ended up happening was I realized, actually, in the American culture, it's every man for himself. You gotta survive. You gotta push. If you don't push, you won't get hurt. And what they think, they don't have an issue with you pushing back. If you don't push back, they think you're agreeing. If you have a disagreement, you need to push back. And they're not going to get offended that you push back. They're going to feel offended that you didn't. That's not the way the Filipino is. We all know that. Lahat tayo, okay, okay, kahit hindi ka okay. Di ba parang ganyan? Ay, pastor, gawa natin ng paraan. Patay. Di ba parang ganyan yung... We all understand there's hidden messages behind everything we say. You know, yung may himas-himas yan. Mga apat na beses mo yayayain kahit gutom na talaga siya. Di ba? Kain ka na. Hindi, hindi, okay lang. Kain ka na. Hindi, okay. Hihintayin yung pang-apat eh. Di ba? Sige na nga, may plato na. Di ba? Parang ganun. We know that, right? Americano, you wanna eat? No. They will never ask you again. Because you don't want to eat. And now you're thinking, gutom na ako. Sana binigyan na talaga niya ako. Okay, so, culture. Culture. Okay, now, in our world here in the office, I've been responsible for having to manage the face, the name, the voice, the feel, the sound of the organization. And so, when I think about how to do that, I've been trying to find a way to teach this to the pastors and to the staff that helps them understand what I do in a perspective that makes sense to them. When I first taught this 8 years ago, I taught on branding. Okay? It was so confusing, even I didn't understand what I said after. Okay? So, after that, I sat down, prayed, and I asked God, I said, help. Give me a reason for why I do what I do. Help me to understand what I do in a way that makes sense in the world that I'm doing it in. And a critical moment came when we were in a consultation meeting in Singapore with Pastor Gigi, Pinky, and I met with Rachel Ong and the coach who mentors Rachel Ong. He's a top-level executive of Shell, a consultant executive of Shell, who's a Malaysian believer. His wife's full-time job, okay, is to sit at the back in any one of his coaching or consultation meetings, and she prays from beginning to end of the meeting. Okay, I've never seen anything like this. I mean, and you know, during breaks they talk. Because if she had a discernment on something, you know, it will equip him for the next session. Impressive. Yeah, at the end of the 3-day consultation, he goes to me and he gives me his Bible. Hold this, Carlos. Hold this. With his Malaysian accent, I can't follow it. But then he goes, "You can actually do what I'm doing, but there's too much of the world in you. Remember, business books are built on world systems. And every world system is built at its core in sin. Never mix scriptures of business world principles into the church. If you want to lead the church, you want to guide the church, you want to help build the church, it will have to come from here." And he gave me the word of God. I'm a pastor, okay? So I'm like, na-rebuke yata ako noon. So I got the Bible. I took it at its word. I took a sabbatical from... Prior to that meeting, I had just finished rereading The Executive by Peter Drucker. I'm a Drucker fan. I had just finished, prior to that, Patrick Lencioni's series of books. And so I was like, okay, how did he know? You know, so I stopped. I took a sabbatical from reading business books, and instead, I started going back into scripture, and I said, Lord, the problems I'm facing right now to lead this conference, the problems I'm facing right now to address this branding concern, the problems I'm facing right now with this communication challenge, does your word have anything to say about that? And here's what I came up with. One day I was praying through, and I realized the Bible says, I was reading this verse, God brought it to my heart, and I started meditating on it, and he said, the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so I'm like, yes, Lord, I thank you. we all read this. We all love this. I mean, this is one of my personal favorite verses. When I was a new believer, I read this and I said, God, salamat, hindi mo tinitignan yung ginagawa kong mali. Hindi mo tinitignan yung outward appearance ko. And so, Lord, thank you so much. You care about the heart. Lalo na when I was applying to lead worship. When I was applying to lead worship, I was not good at singing. So sabi ko, Lord, look at my heart. Look at my heart. Tanggapin sana nila ako sa auditions. Diba? Parang ganun. So, I mean, I always love this verse. This is something I've always held dearly. And then he said, Carlos, do you believe my word is true? I go, yes. Do you believe all of my word is true? Yes, absolutely. Then stop jumping the verse. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, you believe the first part and you never pay attention to the second part. And then so I stopped and I looked. And then that's where I realized the verse says, man looks at the outward appearance. We all jump and we say, God looks at the heart. Yes. But then he goes, but man doesn't. Man cannot. Man is incapable of reading other people's hearts. Have you tried? I mean, those of us here who are married, then you've been married for a while, and you have the closest opportunity to read your spouse's heart. How many of you know it's not that simple? I mean, even after years with knowing all of the cues, knowing all of the situations, you still mess up. Okay? And that's already after years of trying and no choice but to figure it out. No, it still doesn't work. Man can only look at the outward. Now, when we do things in church, when we fix the building, you know, why do we make sure the building looks nice? Because the world can only see our outward. And it does not compute to them if they say, you say your God's an excellent God, but you're cutting corners. You don't really believe your God's an excellent God. Because I can only look at the outward. I can't evaluate your heart motive. Right? Remember, we will always judge ourselves by our intentions, but we will always judge other people by their actions. Always remember that. So all of a sudden, I was like, wait. Man can only look at the outward. A worship service is designed for who? Your worship service always has two audiences, and you need to remember this. Those of you who live, work, and your day-to-day job is worship services, you need to remember this. You have two audiences. God, because the service is first worship to God. He is your first and primary audience. It's your chance to gather the choir. Who's the choir? Not the music team. Everybody in the pew. To lead them into the praise and worship of God because he's worthy of it. That's the first audience. The second audience is the people who need to listen and hear the word of God and receive the presence of God so that they can go back home and go about their daily lives, right? Sometimes we put too much of an emphasis on one, we forget the other, right? There are services that are so God-centered, no non-believer will ever attend it. It's so weird. It's so confusing. The language is so Christianese, they will never figure it out. Now, there are church services that are so people-centered, God doesn't want to bother visiting. The lights are great. The smoke is great. The sounds are fantastic. But people leave it like a concert. It was a great motivational talk. But God was not in the picture. Can you imagine how sad that scenario, diba, where God was not in the worship service? Man can only look at the outward. Stop. Think. What does that mean? If we're trying to engage God, then all he needs are our hearts. And our hearts have to be right. So I'm not saying hearts aren't important. Hearts have to be right. Because God, we do engage God. But if we're trying to reach a lost world, then the outward is the only thing they can refer to understand what is in our hearts. It's the only way they can process concepts that are invisible, that they do not know, that are foreign to them, that in order for them to understand requires outward interaction, right? So, outward to me deals with two things. One, our reputation, to their experience. So when we work on improving the outward as an organization, and there's obviously practical applications for this in the individual, Ever since I figured this out, I started to allow my wife to dress me up, and that's been better for me. Okay, so definitely the outward appearance matters, but in this particular topic, we'll focus on two things, their reputation and their experience. Okay, let me go straight to the first thought, then we'll take a break after this. We'll interact with it a bit. Reputation. Bible has a lot to say about reputation. Says there, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is much better than silver or gold. Also, the memory of the righteous is a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. Have you guys ever eaten in a restaurant that was so bad? Parang every time somebody says, "Oy, kumain ako dito," you immediately just go, "Eh, ba't ka kumain dyan?" It just conjures up and you remember the bad taste, you remember the bad experience. Just the name helps you to remember that horrible encounter. I wonder if because of the interactions people have with victory, your side of victory, whether that's the purchasing office, because that's the side of victory they interface with, whether it's a first-time potential partner who's sitting down with one of our members who is raising money for an event or an activity or a trip or a future partnership, you know, like MPD, that's their what the name that you carry is Every Nation Philippines or Victory. I wonder if when somebody goes, "Uy, punta ka sa Victory." Yeah, what? Where was that from? Because the Bible says, a good name. Uy, sarap, blessing. I like that. Uy, Victory, I had such a great experience with them. You know what? In fact, I supply their pencils. Galing ka, dali ka usap, sarap ka business. Sige nga, I'll attend the service. Or, bad trip yung mga yan. 1 centavo lang pinagawayan pa namin. Talagang barat, grabe. Never work with those Christians. Ganyan ng mga Kristiyano, pera, pera, pera. Good name. A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. I love the fact that our leaders have built this name over 31 years. It has a good name. In fact, it has such a good name that can you imagine, we are the only church that sits in, Pastor Bishop Manny sits in the board of PCEC, PJM, we have a representative of the Philippine Missions Association, he sits in Biblica. Most of the big organizations that represent the evangelical body here in the Philippines, we have representation, and top-level representation, not just active membership on a name. We are in the seat of discussion on leadership in those organizations. We're the only one who straddles the fence between PCEC and PJM, though minsan nag-aaway yung dalawang yun. Can you imagine that? We have such a good name that what you all know, when the time came that we needed to speak to the president, we were given audience. And the limited number of people that were invited to that group included us. A good name. You know, very important. So, think about this. Look at this image, what do you see? Okay? What do you see? How do you see a young girl? How do you see an old woman? Few of you see a woman, or five of you. If you follow this line, the young lady, you can see her nose. You see there? Those of you who saw an old woman, can you now see the young lady? Yeah, Faye? The young lady, she's looking back. You see her? Those of you who see the young lady, can you now see the old lady? Follow the line, watch her jaw. Where's the old lady? She's staring sideways with a long, crooked nose. Can you see her? Obviously, this is an illusion artwork, but it is a very good analogy for the idea of reputation. If we were to debate on who's right, is it a young lady or is it an old woman, it would be a useless debate because they're both there. And that's the same way with reputation. The thing about reputation is this. You can have a reputation idea of who we are. I can have a reputation idea of who I am and who's right and who's wrong. Okay? What I'm not doing right now is checking my Facebook. You know why? Because people are already starting to watch Avengers and I haven't seen it. Okay? And I know the Philippines' desire. I mean, I just know so many people like spoiling it for other people. Yeah. So, and what I don't want to do is read reviews. I don't want people to give them, I don't like it that people give it a score. You know, I don't want to get affected at all, okay, on how I will experience this movie. Okay? But that's how it is. Somebody can come out of the same movie and like it. Another one can come out of the same movie and hate it. Who's right? Who's wrong? And that's a useless debate. The truth is, our opinion on reputation is what we have in our hearts for it. And that's the way we need to understand that. So think about it. What are you really managing? Let's break it down to three thoughts. First, identity. Identity is who you are and what you're about. Identity is who you are at your core. Okay? I need you to understand these three terms. Second one, image. Image is your current perception. Okay, first time meeting, 5-second rule. After 5 minutes, you have an idea of who this person is. Okay? Now, reputation is image plus time. Okay? So, first impression ko. Some people, when they meet me, my friends tell me this. So, if you're my friend, then you know this is true. If you're not my friends, then you're probably still on image. Okay, so snobero daw ako at nakakatakot lapitan. Okay, so that's my initial impression. Okay, across the board. Kahit na save na ako at glory to glory, ini-improve na ako ni God. To this day, it's still there. Okay, so everything saved me plucking my eyebrows. I haven't really figured out how to eliminate that impression. Okay, so but they say I'm always nakaganyan. So I'm like, okay, safe, fine. Okay, so it is what it is. But my friends, after years and after time, have told me that it's absolutely true. My friends have told me, hindi naman pala. Okay, so ganun. So after you break through that initial facade, yeah, you're actually very approachable, whatever, they say things about me like that. Okay, so that's the difference. I know who I am. I mean, I know I'm very deep with friends. I value relationships so much. I know that. That's my identity. Image is what you get when you meet me for the first time. Reputation is you encountering me again and again and again and seeing my identity consistently over time. Over time, you build a framework na yung first impression mo, parang hindi pala siya ganun. And then it changes to reputation. Ganto pala talaga siya. Or it solidifies your impression. Ganto yata siya. Ganun nga siya. That's reputation. Make sense? Okay, that's important because how do you, because our concern is a good name, which is reputation. How do you improve or manage your reputation? Well, what you need to do is first focus on your identity because that's the only part you can manage. The only thing you can manage is what you do, what you say, how you act. You cannot manage how they feel, how they think, what they want to conclude. You cannot. The only thing you can manage is your identity. Remember, they can only look at your outward. And from your outward, they have to make guesses. Ganto kaya siya? Ganto kaya ibig niya sabihin? Ito kaya yung pinaparamdam niya sa akin? This is perceived by guests, members, and community and your team. And as this gets totaled through time, through conversation with others, you know, when you bounce it off with others, they have the same impression. That results in a reputation, right? This is so important now, especially in the age of social media. Why? A movie that comes out in day one, by day two, can fail already because the word will get out. And if enough people agree with the word that it's good or it's bad, it will set the tone and pace for the rest of the people who will watch it. In fact, some people will not bother if the initial feedback from the majority of people is it's not worth watching. Same thing with, where it is right now, before Bell and I, our one sport, Bell and I don't have that many sports, our one sport is finding new restaurants and eating in them. Okay, that's what that's our big contact sport. We're very active in that. So in the past, it was just drive around and find a hole in the wall. But now there are all of these apps that, you know, with all of these reviews. You know how many restaurants we've found based on these apps? Fantastic. Now, you know how many restaurants we've avoided and never even bothered to try based on these apps? Even more. Reputation. But you see, people go online and fight the reputation battle. What they should be dealing with is what they really do. You guys need to remember that. So, as long as we know who we are, they will eventually figure it out. See, what's critical here is we understand who we are and start acting consistently with who we really are. Are we really a God-honoring organization that values integrity in finances? If we really are, then we should be pushing ourselves to the highest standard. We shouldn't be cutting corners. Are we really an organization that values the next generation? Then we should be prioritizing this. We should be highlighting what we do with kids. Are we really an organization? You know, you play that along, act in consistent way as who you really are, and they will eventually conclude that's really what they're about. The more we walk our talk, the more the talk is going to be about our walk. Okay? Recently, there was a person who went online and started to say negative things about Pastor Joey, said negative things about Pastor Steve. Pastor Joey didn't have to do anything because it immediately got flooded by all of the people who knew him. And they started to defend Pastor Joey. Do you even know this person? Have you sat down and listened? You probably only heard one thing that he said and took it out of context. You don't know what this person does. Which is good. But you see, it's because Pastor Joey is consistent. And through time has proven himself to enough people. Okay? The talk is going to be about your actual walk. So, how do you build a strong reputation? Simple. First, figure out and know who you are. It works both for you as an individual and for us as an organization. As you lead your team, you need to understand this. The person responsible to clearly communicate who we are is not Pastor Steve once a month in a staff meeting. It's you, every chance you get. Know who you are. Two, act in a way consistent with your identity. I say this is who I am. Then I act the way I say. Or let me look at the way I act and say, is there something that I'm doing that's making people think I'm something different than the way I really am? Okay? Ever since one of my friends told me, Carlos, nakakatakot kasi yung itsura mo ano eh. So I've learned na, when I'm writing, wala, I can't do that. I'm so zoned out and I'm there. So, ganyan para, so, linuloko nila ako, may labi para, may ganyan, ganyan. So I'm like, okay, ganyan, ganyan ako. But the moment somebody goes to my room like this, this is learned behavior, because I'm like, I need to consciously communicate what I really feel in my heart, which is I'm open and I'm wanting to have this conversation. So I immediately go up and I smile. Yes. Okay? And it's a conscious effort. Ano? Okay? And, you know, my call center training works out for me there. Okay? So, smile. Fake it till you believe it. You know, so parang. No, but seriously, I realize I need to start eliminating some of the things I'm doing if I want the impression to change. Okay? So, I don't know if it's working, but I'm trying. Something to think about, okay? In your department, in your team, okay? Your individual reputation, how are you known as? Okay? How is your department known to work? Are you okay with that? Is that the way you want to be known? Well, it's the way you're known is based on the way you act. So if you want to change the way you're known, you change the way you act, right? And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to interact with this idea. Hey, question. Let's answer the second one. Okay? Describe the kind of reputation you want. And here, I prepared these slides because for church context. But in your environment, if you lead a department or you lead a team, let's focus on your world. Okay? The service you provide or the activity you are in charge over. Okay, describe the reputation you want your team, your department, your church, okay, whatever works in your environment, to have in your community. Okay, what are some of the ways that you can improve and cultivate that? All right, so at your tables, you're around 2 to 3 people per table, which is going to be good. Anna, you're probably going to have to join a group. Baka here, can you join face another group? Here, closer. There, join Anna for the discussion. All right, I'll give you guys 7 minutes to just 5 to 7 minutes to interface with that, and then we'll have a few answers, okay? So what's the current impression, and what can you do to improve the impression that you guys have? Okay? All right, go. All right. Sorry to cut you short. Meg, do you mind? The mic's right there with you. Let's hear from Meg first, and then Meg gets to choose who will answer next. All right, right.
For our table, we talked about how we're perceived as part of the worship services ministry, and majority of the time we're perceived more of makulit and and police, parang taga-police. which is parang, it couldn't just be, makulit kami, but it's because more than anything else, we're trying to follow a certain level of excellence to really do what we're doing. For us, what we think we should do more is really communicate. Parang what Pastor Joey taught us this morning is more of parang ligaw yung dating. Parang, like, for example, for the youth service, sometimes nakukulitan sila sa inyo, feeling nila, eto na naman ng mga admin, ganyan. But it's more of like just communicating with them. You know, we don't want to get mad at you because ganun lang. It's more of because we want when they go to the youth service or we go to the worship service ng adult, it's the same experience. Similarly with MPD, kay me and daw, it's more of like minsan ang tingin ng tao, it's like they're the pera. But in fact, they're the training arm, they're more of equipping. Sila processing, sila Hazel yung pera. Because sometimes they experience getting calls daw about the accounts, ganyan. So I think it's really important more than anything else is to communicate really to people what you're doing more than just more than anything else.
Very good. I like that. Meg, say nominate.
Marsha.
Varsha.
Crisis said,
what do you do?
Crisis answer was. So I'll answer for both. Yeah. Both of us are task oriented. So when we're working, we're very focused. And so, like, she doesn't hear when people are actually. Natatawa si Edward. When people talk to her or are knocking on the door, she doesn't hear because she's zoned in. And so she needs to be able to shift from task to relational quicker. So same thing with me, like when it's time to work, it's time to work. So it has to be more intentional to actually stop what I'm doing and just find that not working can also be productive. Parang if you're connecting with people,
it's a good thought.
It's still worth it.
So, yeah. Great. I'll choose. We have time for 2 more. Go.
Sila Sheena.
Okay.
Seatmate.
Yeah. Pass. May mic dyan sa likod mo, Sheena. Yeah.
Happy birthday, girl.
Happy birthday. Wow.
Okay. Sige po. Yung sa amin po,
ngayon. Yung sa Green Hills po kasi, merong parang change lang nung perception nung nag-shift from Music Museum, nung smaller pa yung church, tapos nagkaroon kami yung sariling center, it's bigger. So, yung reputation dati was that it's homey, it's so warm, the people are so friendly. So, nung lumaki, medyo nagbago yon. So, that's something that we're addressing right now. To make, even if we're getting big, we're still a small church. So, some of the ways that we are doing is that we talk to our leaders, ministry heads, na even yung activation ng mga prayer teams, na kapag hindi pa nagsastart yung service, ang mangyayari, we pray for people, or yung sa lobby, wag muna uupo. Wag yung nakaupo lang, tas nanonood lang ng kung anong nasa screen. So, it's more of them, parang high touch yung approach ng mga leaders sa mga bago. Yung tipong gusto mong mag-imbita ng bagong tao sa church dahil alam mong may magpe-pray sa kanya, may kakausap sa kanya. So, yun po.
Great. Great. Nice. One last.
I nominate Nomer.
Iba yung sagot namin. Very personal yung sagot namin.
Okay. Personal life.
Personal life.
Gets ko. Singles ministry. Naiintindihan ko. Ano ang reputasyon mo, Nomer?
I nominate. Nag-nominate ang bago.
Ede.
I nominate Cathy. When we're discussing, I was sharing about when we had our talk with regarding yung, when we have yung perception about controlling or involving Alex Castillo. Most of the people put in parang commanding or controlling. So I've never perceived myself na that way. So I think in terms of our department, people. Jeva and me and you na makulit ako. But now I'm getting old. I'm 26. So I'm thinking I'm very relational. I think I'm strong in relationship. But now because I want parang people perceive me na serious. I think it's because of my facial features.
Yeah.
So parang I'm thinking yes, I'm very relational. But I don't have to please all of these people. I just need to like learn behavior. I just need to smile and na they can approach me. But at the same time, I'm not looking for a sit down coffee talk with everyone.
Yeah.
So pag nakakasalubong ko yung mga staff dito sa building. So
good.
Thank you.
Prove that you are strong in relationship, Nomer. I want proof.
Ay, hindi pala ako strong.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so all right, I want to give you guys a challenge. Because one of the things you all represent, obviously you represent your different departments, but ultimately you all represent this organization as a whole, especially those of you who interface with outsiders, people who don't interface within the organization. Let's say you deal with suppliers from outside or volunteers. There, you are probably what they understand about the organization. Their interactions with you tell them whether this is a good organization or not. Okay, and let me take that one step further and make it a little bit bigger. You represent God. And the reputation of God, in many ways, is affected by the kind of reputation you leave behind as a Christian. Because we do not obviously hide the fact that we are a Christian organization. And any way you cut it, any interface you have with, whether it's Globe customer service dealing with your internet situation, or whether it's dealing with a printer, the one who's running your photocopying services, or it's the FedEx group, whatever group that is, they know your organization, they know us, not because of Steve, they know us because of you. And that really puts a real weight on us to a certain degree. We don't want to live for man's pleasure, but we need to understand that this dynamic exists. They can only see your outward. Now, let me give you a challenge, and this is something for you guys to think about as we go on our break. One of the things we want to do is clearly make this organization be the kind of place where volunteers and outsiders think this is one of the best places to work. Now, majority of the people will not be Because we don't do applications for pastors. You know, we don't hire pastors that way. Okay, we don't have resumes. I'm a pastor graduating from seminary. You know, you need a pastor, let's hire you. No, that's not how we do things. Okay, we grow pastors from within. Okay, but administrators, we do hire. Many times from a resume. Many times through volunteer associations and everything like that. But all right, so the question is, I wonder what kind of work environment they think we have based on how they watch your life. We had a case scenario where there was this one church that had a lot of volunteers, but they were not able to hire new staff. And when we were looking at why that was, it's because the volunteers were watching the lives of the admin staff. And their conclusion is, there is no life to watch. Okay? Walang buhay, mga ta. I can volunteer whenever I can to help them out because they need it. But I don't want to cross over. Now, obviously that is not the reputation we want to have. Okay? And so, as we go on a break, I want to challenge you guys. Because I really do believe this is one of the best places to work. And I know the reason most of you are here is because you know that that is true as well. And, you know, what we are doing is one of the most noble and probably one of the most exciting things you'll ever do for the rest of your life. I mean, to do this for the rest of my life, if I were to close my eyes and God were to say, this is the only thing you're going to do for the rest of your life, Carlos, I will say, wow, what a privilege. Okay? I hope you feel the same way. But the question is, what kind of reputation does the organization get in terms of a work environment? It's something to really think about. And I want to challenge you, what kind of reputation are we projecting to our volunteers, to people who potentially could be applying for empty roles, slots that need to be filled in the organization? So something to think about. And I hope it brings a consciousness in our minds that we have to act consistent with who we really are. And if there's discrepancy, we need to address that discrepancy. Because we really are doing something that is worth throwing our whole lives into. And we do believe in having life outside of work. You know, like what Pastor Steve preached in the last staff meeting. My identity is not this. I do this, but God can take this. But wow, I love to do this. Right? But if we don't make that thing properly positioned, magkakagulo.